Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. We prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, with today's guest.
Well, hi, my name is Chris Bagley. I graduated from HBU in 2006. I'm serving as the lead pastor of Dayspring Methodist Church here in Tyler, Texas. My wife Priscilla and I both went to HBU. We met on campus and became married shortly after graduation. I became a full-time college student at the age of 22. And really, it was because of the way that I was able to connect with some other students at HBU while Priscilla was going to school there, and the relationship I built with some faculty that I decided, okay, maybe college is for me. Maybe I can actually do this. And I loved my time at HBU. I studied mass media and speech communication. My first job after graduating was as the sports editor of the El Campo Leader News, where I got to cover sports for the Rice Birds and do all sorts of things like that. And that was where I was when I felt that I got a call into ministry that I couldn't say no to. And later on, went down the track to become a pastor. HBU has been a really special school for me, for my wife, our family. We absolutely loved our time there and everything we got to do. And so I'm so excited to see all the great things that are happening at HBU now as we get to connect moving forward.
Chris, I mean, tell me what it's been like being a pastor of a church during COVID.
It's been wild and it's been crazy. Specifically, I've been an associate pastor or a pastor of one of our multi-site campuses at a different church before this. My family and I moved to Tyler in June of 2020. So that's right in the height and in the peak of all things COVID. I would not recommend it to anybody. If you have a chance to know that you have a worldwide pandemic about to happen, don't put in for the move. But I will tell you, man, my time here has been incredible. I think because of entering into a new position in the middle of this time, it's like we've been in crisis mode for the last year. And because of that, I really feel like I've been able to bond and connect with people in a deeper and quicker way than I have in other times when I've spent years in a spot. There's something about going through real difficulty together in community that anchors us all the further and brings us deeper together.
So you talked about the relationships that were conducive to you coming to HBU. Can you elaborate on what that environment was that caused you to choose HBU as a university of choice?
Absolutely. Well, I was dating a woman who would become my wife, and I got to meet with some different friends there. I started to attend a Thursday evening worship service, got to meet with Colette Cross, who was really integral in my faith formation and in that process. And so being a part of someone who was attending that Thursday night service, I'd show up every now and then to help set up or tear down and just to hang around and spend some time there. When I became interested in applying was, when I'd met enough friends who really spoke life into me. And that's what I found out the entire time I was at HBU. We'd stay up late debating all sorts of things, theology to why the Rockets are so much better than the Spurs, right? All sorts of different things. And what I found was students and faculty and staff speaking life into people. That was a special thing about HBU that didn't necessarily get to come in some of the larger school aspects that I had been exposed to or I had been in before. And so I thought, well, I'm going to test it out. And so I became a part-time student and really began to love learning, to love the encouragement and the connection and bond that was available for faculty and students. And that just convinced me to go all in. I'm really thankful.
So, Chris, you graduated in mass media and speech communication at HBU. You were the sports editor for the Collegian, and you worked with HBU TV studio as a student. What's the takeaway from your time at HBU working in the studio as it relates to your ministry now?
Well, I think one of the big things is, we got to work on kind of the front end of developing a regular occurring television show. It was HBU Sports Week at the time. We got to talk about HBU sports and then kind of some national sports as well. It made me so comfortable in speaking with people and in front of people. I think the time being able to do that helped me to go through and intentionally craft story and intentionally to craft and create a narrative. To know that we don't get to just step in and wing it on everything that we get to do. Everything worth saying is worth really considering and thinking through the whole way. And so, man, it was an incredible formative experience for me.
So what high school were you at here in the Houston area?
I went to Katy High School.
Katy High School, okay. And Priscilla was from what high school here as well?
She actually grew up in Guatemala. Her parents are retired missionaries there, and she went to the Christian Academy of Guatemala.
So fast forward, I mean, you end up at Asbury Theological Seminary. What was the preparation at Asbury after HBU that helped propel you to the pastorate?
Well, what I love so much about my time at Asbury is Asbury felt very similar to HBU. The types of relationships that you could have with professors there on campus at HBU, it was similar in Asbury Theological Seminary. And when I had spoken with other friends who went to other schools, that wasn't always the case. So my plan was to go and visit multiple seminaries and see what that would be like. But honestly, Asbury was the first one we went to. And that's where both my wife and I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit and felt this guidance and assurance that said, no, this is the place. And so the ability to form deep community relationship with students and with my professors, it was life-changing for me. I would have a chance to go for lunch or there was one preaching professor. I got to go drive on some of his trips and engagements. And well, when you have a chance to be one-on-one alone in a car with a professor in an area that you want to learn and to emulate him in, well, let me tell you, it was the best class. They could not have charged me enough. They don't need to go back and charge me anymore though, after that. We were fine.
That's really cool. You know, we see the increased secularization in the country, and my wife and I have been studying this demographic nuns in ONES, this adult group that's religiously disaffiliated, super strong, about a third of them millennials. They've eclipsed Roman Catholics and evangelicals now, and they're not atheists. They're still spiritual. They're just disconnected. You're in Tyler, I think one of the best cities in America. What kind of trends are you seeing? And, you know, we're wondering too, post-COVID, will they come back? Give us your take as a pastor there in Tyler.
Well, I think in some aspects, the COVID timeframe has revealed some particular irrelevancies of the church and of Christianity. And so I think we see a lot more people maybe moving toward the nun status who before had very minimal investment in life of the church and found that the church was really investing in them minimally as well. I think what we've gone through in the last year is such a great opportunity to connect with the things that God is doing in his church and throughout the world with each other to welcome us into deeper community. And I think the churches that do that well, I do believe that there's going to be a really great response to that. Now, it's really early in post-COVID world. And are we even in post-COVID, right? This is kind of we see the light at the end of the tunnel. We're starting to take some steps back out. We do see in Day Spring and throughout the Tyler area, really some pretty great and encouraging engagement with people who are coming back, who had originally kind of pulled away and perhaps they've been worshiping online or not. We're also seeing some encouragement in some people who, they're not coming back, they're just coming. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the first moves that people have had to take their faith seriously. And they don't know really what that means because they've been, like you say, none, but that doesn't mean nothing. None doesn't mean nothing. It means we don't really like affiliating with a specific group. And I don't really know if I want to call myself Christian because maybe the name Christian has been sullied in my past. And I've had a rough experience with that. But I do believe God exists or God is loving. And I'm not really sure about that. I'm finding that the church right now has some very unique opportunities to engage with people of that mentality and that mindset. And what a fantastic opportunity that is then to be present with the power of Christ.
I wonder your observations. I mean, 24 years ago, a guy started selling books online. That's Amazon. Airbnb is now valued more than the Marriott Corporation. Tesla, more valued than any of the historic automakers. I mean, we certainly see a digital transformation boom in the country. HBU's embraced this in the expansion of our online, which is now 1,500 headed to 2,000 students. Soon will eclipse the number of students actually on campus. What's some of the post-COVID opportunities that the digital during COVID modality of churches for survival and community, et cetera, what are you going to take away from it when you get back to normal, whenever that happens?
That's a great question. And so much of that is exactly what we're wrestling with on a daily basis. When we talk through strategy for local church, when we talk through strategy for the church in broad and the global position for that. I think so much of what we find in our society as we've moved to embrace more of a digital presence or an online presence is this understanding that passive digital connection cannot find any solution to the human condition. Active digital connection, though, can be different. I think it's why we've seen so much success in those very companies that you've named. They've met with people in a originally what was a kind of a passive environment in the very beginnings of internet presence. And we've moved and found ways to interact and to connect and to drive deeper. I think if the church is going to be present digitally, it's going to be because we've navigated this gray area and this rocky sea of wondering how in the world to make disciples digitally. It doesn't mean only digitally. It doesn't mean primarily digitally. But we do recognize that as we live in this world today, more than likely, it seems like at least we're progressing to an area that says people are willing to meet us only where we're willing to meet them as well. And so that does mean that if the church takes an opportunity to be present as digital disciple makers, not only online disciples, but to connect with people digitally, to grow and establish community, I mean, that has an opportunity to go a lot deeper than I would have thought just years ago, even maybe just months ago. It wasn't long ago that I was at a previous church and I was saying, man, I really don't want to do a live stream. I really don't want to do it. I want people to be there in person, right? And if we do it, I don't want it to be great because then it's just going to feel like I feel when I watch the NFL. I don't want to go to an actual game. I can see it so much better on my TV. Well, that's the passive experience. We don't get to passively participate in worship. That's the passive live stream. And that only goes so far. But to be active in our lives, I think when we figure that out, and I love that there are people who are working on that end, and we're trying, right? When we figure out how to be active in that, I think this could really be another one of those roads that the Holy Spirit moves to connect throughout the world.
I'm sure you experience at HBU that there's this unique history and moorings of HBU that's distinctly Christian. And yet at the same time, HBU accepts students at all ages and stages, some with faith, some without faith. And instead of the plunger approach to force the faith down someone's throat, they just emulate Christ and show personal concern. And many students receive Christ and some don't. As we look at the church and the realities of where the culture is going, how to catechize people, what is the approach you're thinking about and employing in your ministry for discipleship and helping people to get a distinctly Christian worldview and yet not to become an intolerable of people who aren't there?
That's a great question. I think the best way to do that is through intentional relationship building. One of the values that I have because of my time at HBU is to approach people with the opportunity of high relationship, a high relationship that isn't available for us to do with every single person that we encounter. But at the very least, we can approach that through great transparency for being authentic with people, which are great buzzwords right now, right? I just mean just a chance to for us to be us and us to be real together. And when questions come up, we don't have to dodge them because we don't have to figure out the right political answer to that. To me, those have been the most life-forming and engaging relationships where I've bonded with a person first. And then with people who've been able to mentor me in my walk with Christ, well, that bonding with that person engaged me to times where it was at HBU that I really began to take my faith seriously. I began to turn to scripture and not just go, okay, this is something I'm supposed to do because I don't know, I'm supposed to do it. But this was something I'm called to do in full expectation that I'll encounter Christ. I might have gotten there if it wasn't for the relationships I built in those years. Might have, but I know that I did get there because of that. And so I think the more relationship forming we do, I think the better chance we have in all of that.
People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, huh?
So true. So true.
Now, you know, the family today through COVID and through just everything going on is lots of stress, lots of hassles. You know, kids today, you know, Gen Z, total different generation, 90 million strong coming on the horizon, total different upbringing. How have you a young pastor with a family, how are you protecting your family in the midst of serving, which, you know, the work of a church is never done? What are some of the things you're employing?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I try to invest in ways to navigate family, being present in ministry and in the church, which aren't necessarily the exact same thing, but they're also not exclusive to each other. One of the things I do my best to invest in is following God's command and invitation into Sabbath. We have intentional days where I will set aside and that I'll look at my calendar. Normally what I like to do is I like to talk with my wife and say, okay, this week, here's what's kind of going on. And on my Friday, which is my day off, or Saturday, which could be an off day for me. And right now we have our daughter's 4 years old. She's not in preschool, she's at home. So we get a chance to really pursue Fridays as a great family day, but we'll look at either one and go, oh, there's an opportunity. Which one do we want to set out specifically for our family, for our own engagement around that? And I do my best to stick to it religiously, because it's a gift that God gives us. To take time to rest and to take time to engage. Now, it doesn't mean that we only do Sabbath with family. We do Sabbath intentionally alone through singleness and to find ways that we rest and to be renewed by God. We find ways to do that with neighbors, with friends. Whatever it is a life-giving opportunity to connect with Christ. But I think the more we live into the Lord's desire for us to be at peace and to be fully present with him, I think the more we find ourselves able to be present in every mission field he sends us to.
Couldn't agree more. You know, there are parents and grandparents that are prospecting universities and as well as students. And they've paused and they're looking at HBU. They're obviously in a city like Houston, huge smorgasbord. You're from the Katy High School. I just read Katy High School, ISD is going to have 100,000 students here in just a few years, I think 3 years.
Crazy.
Amazing growth. People who are not from Houston just have no idea how formidable this city is, and the resiliency of it, as you know, is just off the charts, whether hurricane or freeze or whatever. It reminds me of the Bionic Man. It just heals up and keeps blowing and going. But some are looking at HBU. I would be interested in you, just if you had a chance to stop them for a moment and say, why HBU? What would you say to that prospective student, parent, or grandparent?
Oh, well, I mean, there are so many great universities, so many great places to study. And that's just true. I think HBU has unique opportunities to be highly considered for so many people for several reasons. One, I mean, you named it right there in the description of Houston. Houston is an amazing city. And so to be able to be entered into in these formative years and to be formed right in the middle of Houston, to experience the diversity of culture, the diversity of values, of the swelling of this great city that, you're right, the more issues Houston goes through, it just feels like this is a town and a city that holds together and is so resilient. I love the joy that's in Houston. And I know it's not just joy. There's all sorts of everything there. But you were talking about one of the absolute best cities to shape your most formative years right there. And so you've got Houston Baptist University that is so deeply present. What it does to me, at least it did for me in my time in Houston, it took this large city that I love. I love navigating my way around. I love the whole cultural aspect to Houston. It took this large concept and it made it approachable for me. It made it to where this was a place where I could grow and I could develop. And in all the ways that I love about Houston, everything like that is present in HBU. It's so culturally diverse. I love the fact that you don't have to be Christian to be at Houston Baptist University. You don't have to be Baptist. My father's a Methodist pastor, and I told him I was going to go to Houston Baptist University, and he goes, "Well, just thank God you're going to school." so there's that, and I'll tell you, I loved my time there. So by the time our daughter's old enough to go to school, we will hope that she considers HBU for all those reasons and more. It's a fantastic opportunity to be shaped and to be shaped by godly men and women who will invest deeply in your faith journey because they invest deeply in relationship.
Just before we end, I do want to mention, you mentioned a lady who I think is just a great Christian lady, Colette Cross, and the Kaleo program, all about discipleship and relationships, everything you've just said. Can you just talk about for a minute just how important Kaleo, what it is and what it meant to you and what it could mean for someone else?
Sure. Well, it was incredibly formative to me. I don't think it was called Kaleo back when I was there. I don't remember what we called it. I just remember Thursday night worship. It was an opportunity to have kind of a supplemental community. It didn't work for me or for anybody else. The aim wasn't to be your church. It wasn't to replicate your church community. The point was to have an opportunity to be uniquely engaged for this specific age group, this specific life stage, that everybody who's going through roughly the same thing, dealing with the same course of stresses and different courses and semesters, to have a chance to receive this relevant message, to receive and to be present in direct worship, and maybe to have some preconceived notions challenged in such a great nurturing way. I'll tell you, Colette was huge in being able to shape and form that, and her impact on my life and her impact on my wife Priscilla's life. It's part of the reason why we're able to be present with others today in ministry. It's a grand investment for HBU and for leaders like Colette to give to students. And I would say for students, it's a really great investment now to engage in the presence of God today. Because what you do today is something that God grows in us in the days to come.
Amen. We've been talking to Chris Bagley. He majored in mass media and speech communication at HBU, and now the pastor of Day Spring Methodist Church in Tyler, Texas. We're so proud of you, Chris, and what God's doing in your life. I mean, it's just a lot of people at HBU are just cheering you on and so grateful for the calling that you and your wife are pursuing together. Many of us know the challenges of ministry. It's not an easy road, and you need a lot of folks that are encouragers because, unfortunately, the joy suckers do come along. And yet we are convinced that you're going to do well. HBU can be your home. And Chris is another reminder why. And you may have questions. We have all the answers to help you understand. I earlier today talked to a first-gen student that had an awkwardness initially about financial aid. I mean, no question is inappropriate and every question will be answered and deserves an answer. More available at hbu.edu/admissions, 281-649-3211. Our graduate school, hbu.edu/grad, or 281-649-3269. And I do want to remind you about are online, because now nearly all 50 states have Houston Baptist University students in them, and that is growing. And I know to Chris, who has an orientation to media, that's an excitement to he and to myself, because we want to do what Louis Braille said in France when French blind students were considered mentally demented, and he created a little representation of the alphabet, gave it to his headmaster, and it worked. And he said, well, if it'll work here, why shouldn't the whole world have it? And HBU, why shouldn't the whole world have it? We're making that available through HBUonline.com. 1-855-428-1960. And our deepest gratitude to those who've given and continue to give to make this journey possible. You can continue with your gifts and just sit back and watch the parade. And it's a great parade of men and women, just like Chris Bagley and his wife, who are out as points of light. You know, often, Chris, we talk about darkness, but we forget God has his people everywhere, just like you and your wife shining in Tyler. And the Lord is doing many things that the evening news will never cover. And yet we know it's happening, don't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The church is God's plan, right? And us as the body of Christ, that is God's plan to reach the world. There's no plan B. It's us and the power of the Holy Spirit. That can be a great thing.
Chris, we're very proud of you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you for your ministry there. We're going to follow you with great interest. And we want you to stay in touch, because you got a lot of people back here at HBU that are very proud of you.
Thank you.
Have a great day, my friend.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.